News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Had a young man drinking, but not too quickly, out of a 4-ounce coffee cup all morning long. Dalton Arwig on FM Talk 106.5, 7 minutes after 8 o'clock, 8:07.
Quick update. We promise to keep you in the know with all supplies and ice and things that we can find out in our area as we recover from Hurricane Zeta. And Mayor of Citronelle, Jason Stringer, yesterday said the Salvation Army was set up at the Citronelle Rescue Building serving free hot meals yesterday. I would imagine the story would be the same today. Now, the Citronelle Rescue Building, as far as I can tell, I believe it is east of the Junior Food Mart there in Citronelle on East State Street, the Citronelle Rescue Unit. If you know where this Citronelle Rescue Building is, I believe that that's correct, but let us know on the text line 343-0106, but that's where the Salvation Army has been set up.
Okay, so they're there quickly, and they usually are after something like that. They're there to, you know, they're there on the spot in that moment. So thank you to the Salvation Army for what they're doing in Citronelle, and no doubt other locations up in Clark County as well. It is Friday morning, and so we huddle up with Jason Campbell, the former Auburn star quarterback, to talk some Auburn football. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, fellas. How you doing?
Well, a win's a win, huh? Nice snatching of, and they actually did snatch the win on the road at Ole Miss against a high-powered offense. Got out of there with a win, and that's all you could ask for.
Yeah, you know, anytime you go on the road in the SEC, especially this time of the year, you're starting to get into that real fall in November, and teams have played a couple of games, so they kind of finding their rhythm. And, you know, Ole Miss is a scratchy team. You know, they're a team that's going to always compete and make the game really tough. And, you know, we was fortunate. You know, we had some breaks in that game. But as well, you know, I feel like, you know, our guys made some plays. They made the plays to win the game when they had to. The pass that Bo made to Seth on, versus two men on the sideline. And for Seth to have the awareness to go up and make the catch and to stay inbounds and score, you know, is a testament to his skill, ability, and his awareness of being on the football field. And you think about our defense, you know, of course we gave up a lot to the run, but they made the plays when they had to. You know, they made the stop at the end of the game and get us to get the ball back to have an opportunity to go score. And, you know, we just got to continue to do better and just try to get off the field on third downs. But overall, you know, they got the win, and, you know, that's all you can ask for when you go on the road and coming back against LSU this week.
I want to discuss some of the great performances on offense from last weekend, but first, a guy from right here in Mobile, Roger McCreary, a big game on Saturday. He picked off a pass as Ole Miss was driving to score very early on in the game, and then on the fake field goal was completely aware of what was going on and stopped that very easily. Talk a little bit about the play for McCreary and what you're seeing in the defensive backfield at Auburn.
Yeah, McCreary is starting to become one of those number one corners for us. You know, we put some guys in the NFL here lately at the corner position. You know, he's one of those type of guys. I can see his name being here called it in a few years as well. Like, this guy is he's a competitor. You know, he would come up and hit you from a corner position, and he gets his hands on balls. You know, he had a real big interception in the Kentucky game on a 1-yard line, and he had a big interception to open the drive up that Ole Miss had on the road this week. You know, Corral had thrown 6 picks the week before, and you know, if he throws a touchdown pass there, you never know what it does for his confidence. But because McCreary stepped in front of that route and intercepted that ball, it put a little bit of doubt back in his mind, and to do that, you know, was a big, huge play in that ball game. Probably was the difference in the game too. And you think about the fake field goal, have the awareness, understanding, hey, it's like 4th and 7. You know, there's no reason for us to rush the field goal kicker and try to block it. Like, if it, you know, we're going to play field goal safe. So it's a good call by the special teams coach, because great awareness by McQuarrie to have his eyes and ears open for any kind of fake. And, you know, he was there to make the play. So, you know, he's just one of those guys that's stepping up for us and continue to make plays and plays as the season go on.
On the offensive side, Tank Bigsby wins SEC Freshman of the Week. Third week in a row with over 100 yards rushing.
Just give him Freshman of the Year. Just hand it to him now.
Yeah. Talk some about his early evolution, very early on in his career, and think he might have the chance to make it 4 straight with this LSU game coming up.
Yeah. Tank has taken the lead by storm. You know, ever since he got that start, you know, in the Arkansas game, and, you know, he hasn't looked back. You know, the guys, he's playing, you know, tremendous football. He's a team player. You saw Shivers come back this week, and Shivers got the start, but it didn't bother him. You know, when his opportunity presented itself, he went out there and made made his dominance happen. And I think that helps, you know, when guys can share the ball and not be selfish. And I think that helps your whole locker room, and it helps that room in the backfield. And Tank is a guy, you can't take him down with the first, second, third person to hit him. He's a man amongst boys out there. You know, it's basically the fourth or fifth guy that's making contact with him are the ones that get him down, because they have to group tackle him. And that's just a testament to his strength. But these guys, he's getting better each week. And like I said, he'll be the first freshman ever in the SEC to have 400-yard rushing games in the SEC in his first four starts. And you think about this week against LSU, who given up a ton on the run, in the run game or defensively, which has been a shocker. But this is definitely a team I feel like he can still continue his dominance.
How do you assess LSU at this point of the season? Because they have been all over the board. And then they walk in with a backup, with a true freshman, and you're thinking they could be in a little trouble tonight, and they roll over South Carolina.
Yeah, LSU is a tricky team. Like I said, they didn't get a chance to play Florida a couple of weeks ago. That game got moved. So they had an extra week to get healthy. That was their problem starting the season off. You know, they didn't have team weeks for the first 3 weeks. And then, you know, they was missing some players in other key positions. And then guys were sick and guys were hurt. But then I think the week they got a chance, they didn't have to play Florida, coming off a Missouri loss, they got a chance to watch film, heal up. And you saw them play a better game in the South Carolina game. And the backup, Finley, who's like a giant, you know, standing back there throwing a football. You know, they ran a game plan. They kept it conservative, but allowed the kid to make plays for him. And, you know, I'm pretty sure we'll probably see both of their quarterbacks this week. I think the other guy's getting back healthy. And so we got to prepare for both of them. But LSU can be a streaky team. They always got talent. You know, no matter how many guys they lost the year before, you know, they always recruit very well. They always have guys that can play. And, you know, this is a game that we have to go out there and try to set the tempo early, because, you know, this could be a dog fight. It always is. You just never know when it comes to this game. So, you know, you don't know which LSU team going to show up, but that's not for us to figure out. It's for us to figure out is which Auburn team is going to show up, you know, and that's our key.
And I think you should give the pregame speech.
Yeah,
you got us fired up down here.
That would be great. You know, it's one thing for a first-time starting quarterback to have success in game number one, but after that, the next teams have film on that quarterback. How difficult is it for a guy like Finley, a true freshman, to continue the good play that he showed in that first week against South Carolina?
Right. It's easier to come into a game when people don't know, they haven't seen you. Once people study you, and it's the same thing we were saying about Bo. You know, once people start to study Bo and know some of his tendencies, defense will start to play him into that. It's the same thing with Finley. You know, they haven't seen him long enough. And this would be his second game. If he gets to start against Auburn, you know, it's going to be a tougher challenge because it's on the road. Our defense, I feel like, is getting better in the back end, especially in pass defense. And so, it'll be a bigger challenge for him. But I think they still going to do what they do, and that's lean heavy on the run. Mm-hmm. They have a big kid back there toting the football. You know, this kid can run as well, and they've been running the football really well. So for us to win this football game, it's going to have to be won on the defensive front, on the defensive line, and whichever quarterback protects the football the best for their football team. But whoever wins the line of scrimmage in this football game typically wins the game.
It's SEC football right there, right, Jason?
Yeah, this is real SEC football, and this matchup is always intriguing. But this game is always won up front, unless you just have some fluke stuff like in 05 or 06. I mean, missed five field goals, and you know, then it's just crazy things happen in this football game. You have to be ready for eating and everything.
Well, CBS is going to be on the planes, so it is the game of the week. Jason, where can folks check out your podcast and get up with you on social media?
Yeah, everyone, please go check out the podcast this week. Taylor Beth Davis, who works for ESPN, also Auburn graduate, works for the Panthers. We do a podcast every week, and this week is Believe in Auburn, BLEAV in Auburn. You can go on Apple, Spotify, and type it in and just subscribe. You know, if you listen to it, it's one thing, but if you subscribe, it's free. The more subscribers we get, the more our show continues to grow and boost, and we put a lot of effort into it, and we analyze every game, upcoming, and recap. So check us out there. Check me out on Instagram at jcampbell17. and Twitter, jcam_17. So I look forward to hearing from you guys, and thanks for the opportunity.
You got it, man. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Jason. Another great breakdown from the former Auburn and NFL quarterback, Jason Campbell.
Huddle up with Jason Campbell every Friday on FM Talk 106.5. FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. What's going on, y'all? It is about 21 minutes after 8 o'clock now. Okay, let's get to some storm stuff. We are in recovery mode again. And all of Mobile actually is in recovery mode again. Mm-hmm. Parts of Baldwin County, and but Citronelle, Washington, Clark County, they've got... they've got a mouthful to bite into. They've got work for weeks on weeks, more than likely, up there with the damage that I saw.
Yeah, and power outages. I mean, I've said it before, but if you look at maps of power outages across the southeast U.S., you can see the direct path that this storm took all the way through Georgia and the Carolinas, and six confirmed fatalities to this point. One in Louisiana, 55-year-old man electrocuted after hitting a power line that was hanging low. One death in Biloxi, which was actually a 58-year-old man from Theodore who drowned near a marina in Biloxi. And then one death in Clark County where a tree fell on a mobile home. But three deaths in Georgia, which just goes to show how powerful the storm remained as it worked its way across the southeastern U.S. and back out into the Atlantic. It was, what, 26 hours from the time it made landfall in Louisiana until the time it was out in the Atlantic Ocean.
And it did damage the whole way. How about this? Think about this. 470 miles in between New Orleans, mm-hmm. where it didn't really, that was the major, that's where the guy died,
yeah.
to North Atlanta, that's 470 miles. And that storm not only did devastation in all the and everything in between and beyond, it caused death in both of those locales. That's crazy.
Yeah, and then with another storm forming in the Caribbean right now, we talked with staff meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams this morning, as we do every morning. But he said with these cold fronts moving into our area, that should keep this next storm away from us. And he seemed fairly confident in that. But again, you always have to be prepared, and we know that
you do.
More this year than ever. We talked with Mark Ingram from Baldwin EMC this morning, also talked with Beth Thomas from Alabama Power. Now, statewide, with all of the power companies combined, still over 250,000 without power. In Mobile County, that number is down to 53,000. That's about 25% in Mobile County that still are without power. That's down from, I think, around 50% after the storm. In Baldwin County, the number down to under 5,000 without power. They track 131,000 in Baldwin County, so lots of power has been restored there. But then Clark County, you know, they were 100% without power for a time during the storm or right after the storm. They've gotten some power back, but a majority of Clark County is still without power. And my mom, actually, who is in Grove Hill, she texted this morning. She said, I almost drove into a low-hanging power line yesterday. Had to slam on my brakes and drive through a yard to get around it. And my buddy Ben was driving his way up yesterday and went through Clark County. He said didn't see any power between the intersection by the Grove Hill McDonald's and the new hospital in Thomasville. Also didn't see any power north of Thomasville. So Clark County really went through it in this storm, and parts of northern Mobile County as well. We've been talking with folks in Citronelle. Now, the mayor of Citronelle, Jason Stringer, he messaged yesterday that the Salvation Army had been set up at the Citronelle Rescue Building serving free hot meals. That was for yesterday. I imagine they'll do the same today. But an important number to know and dial if you need assistance, 211 United Way Disaster Assistance. They say if you need assistance with your property and to report damages from Hurricane Sally, contact United Way 211. The number is right there. They say for assistance, please call 211 or the toll-free number 1-888-421-1266. 1-888-421-1266. And those without power might have a tough time getting to it online, but if you are able, the website is www.211connectsalabama.org. That's 211connectsalabama.org.
Keep in mind, too, Alabama Power is dealing with the entire state right now. Mm-hmm. It's not a localized storm. It did not turn out to be a localized issue. It is all over the state. But Clark County was hit as hard as anybody, and yesterday, State Senator Greg Allbritton was on the Jeff Poor Show and talked about what he saw.
It was a widespread blackout over a whole county area, counties, I should say. And Alabama Power and others, you know, had pre-positioned in anticipation of this. So we have folks out working. Recovery is being made. Power's being restored in different places. We're getting reports, even as early as 7 this morning, power was coming back on. So they're out there. They're working. We're making progress, and more help's on the way. I'm not sure what more we could ask for.
There you go, Greg Albritton. That is in his district.
There were curfews put in place last night in three locations: Chickasaw, the city of Mobile, and Bayou La Batterie. And the mayor of Mobile, Sandy Stimson, sent out in his nightly email yesterday the reasons behind that curfew, and it's because of the power outages at intersections, and they wanted to limit the possibility of accidents at these intersections that are out of lights. And we had a texter ask whether the mayor will extend the curfew into tonight. No word on that just yet, but in his email yesterday, the mayor said, "We are hopeful that this curfew will only be in place for one night, but that will depend on the restoration of the power to our intersections." So if the power companies are able to get power to those intersections, and a lot of them tonight, then hopefully that curfew will not still be in place. But if we're looking at the same amount of intersections without power tonight, then you can expect another curfew.
Your Friday night has been dampened by the mayor, but apparently out of need.
Yeah, well said. And, you know, we've been talking in high school sports. I'm surprised they were still able to get these volleyball state championships out of the way in Birmingham over the last few days. And, of course, tonight, the final regular season games of 2020 before they begin playoffs yesterday. And I believe a caller on the line, Marcus, wants to talk some about the high school sports. Good morning, Marcus.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good.
Well, I'm on my way to Montgomery right now. Jackson Academy girls are playing in the championship game for 1A AISA championship in volleyball today. They're supposed to play yesterday, but Zeta the Storm knocked out the power in Montgomery. And, of course, they weren't in no shape to go either, because most of the people down there couldn't even get out of their yard yesterday. But you mentioned Millery-St. Michael's. That game has been canceled for tonight.
Oh, okay.
And so is the Leroy-Citronelle game. It's been canceled for tonight.
Yeah, I can certainly see why.
Because of the damage in Millery and Citronelle and Leroy and all that. I don't know if you know Mr. Bobby Farish, but I was talking with him yesterday. He lives in Leroy. He lost a 40-by-60-foot barn in the storm, and there's a lot of damage at a lot of the athletic facilities at Leroy and at Jackson High School and up in Clark County. A lot of the athletic facilities was and over in Millery were tore up by the storm.
And Marcus, a big game Clark County High School, Thomasville. That rivalry game has also been canceled.
That's a big game.
Yeah, a number of games canceled for tonight, and even one because of COVID. You know, we're still dealing with that. And St. Luke's, I really hope St. Luke's doesn't have to cancel their playoff game for next week, because they are set to play in the playoffs, but they had to cancel their game against Cottage Hill, which was set for last night. That was because of a positive COVID test on the St. Luke's Wildcats.
Trevor Lawrence is COVID. And if he were in the Big Ten, he'd be gone for 3 weeks and probably just start training for the pros, right?
I would think so.
Yeah. And he may not be back for next week's Notre Dame game, and that's the biggest one on Clemson's schedule this year. 830 FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton, and more of your calls as we turn up your voice at 343-0106 on the way.
All right. 10 minutes till 9, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Orwig. Now it's time for a very spooky edition of the Fishing Report, and a day later than normal.
Well, you know, this is here I go with my transition, because there's a topwater bait called a Zara Spook.
Ooh.
We're going to talk about topwater baits today, not specifically that one, with Captain Bobby Abrascato and the FM Talk 106.5 Fishing Report, brought to you by our friends at McCoy Outdoor Company, just west of 65 on Spring Hill Avenue. And I'm interrupting the catching, so we'll make this quick. Captain Bobby, good morning.
I love it, man. That was great, man. The Halloween fishing report, and we start out talking about Zara Spook.
How about that? How about that, brother? How about it? So you're catching them on top water this morning. You sent me pictures already. I'm jealous.
Well, let's back up for a second and say my crew is catching them on top water. The captain ain't doing nothing but driving the boat. That's right. All about I've been good for this morning because these guys have put on a pretty good show on top water this morning. As a matter of fact, we're unhooking a bass right now from the top water.
I love that. I love I love the mixed bag. I love, you know, catch a trout, catch redfish, catch a bass. I love that.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you what, we got the place to do it too, right here on the Gulf Coast, on the northern Gulf Coast, man. But yeah, it's been an all top water. You know, we got classic conditions for top water fishing this morning. Got some wind and some cloud cover, and the other thing that goes along with it too are the dropping water temperatures. We're finally getting back down. I'm going to turn on my temperature gauge while we're talking right here to tell you what it is. But we were in the mid 70s. It's going to be down. Yeah, we're already down to 70 degrees. So we start getting that upper 60 and 70 degree range. That's when you need to start breaking those things out.
And you talk about top water. Let's talk about what kind of top waters work around here. I mean, one more than another, or is it different days?
What's that? Say it again.
What kind of top waters are you throwing this morning? And then kind of what do you throw? Do you ever change up what you're throwing for a top water?
Absolutely. Like this morning, we've been using a small skitter walk, the smaller size skitter walk, and it's really out, you know, it didn't really matter too much on the color. The size of the lure seems to make the difference. And surprisingly, we were catching them in some windy, you know, out in some pretty choppy water, which typically when it gets choppy like that, I like to go to the bigger top water baits. But, man, the little one has really done the trick this morning. We're in some calm water right now, and they're getting bit pretty regular on it too. But, you know, the general rule of thumb is the choppier the water, the more off color the water is, the bigger the lure and louder lure. When you get calmer water, to go to a smaller topwater bait. And I'll tell you something else that happened the other day. We had a really good topwater morning, the morning right before the storm. We were getting bit quite a bit and missing fish, just having trouble getting the fish to hook up. And one of the things we started doing is just when you got a bite, a blow up, and the fish didn't hook up, is just kill the lure and just let it sit, just sit dead still for maybe a five count, and more often than not, the fish would come back and hit either the fish that initially struck or another one that was right there would come back and get it. And you know, because the lure wasn't moving, we hooked up a lot more fish. The other thing that happens with topwaters, and you know this, is if you try to set the hook with no fish on it, guess where the lure's coming? You know, so you know, I can always tell when I fish with an inexperienced crew because I spend my whole morning fishing in the air raid position. Because every time there's a blow up, the lure's coming back in the boat.
And you watch it; it's like a bad 3D movie. Here it comes! Yeah. Here it comes!
Yeah, that's right. You know, and of course, a plug with two or three big treble hooks is the last thing you want to see coming right at your face. You know,
so, no, that's when you go prone. Yeah, go prone,
you know,
on
so
the
deck. That's kind of a double tip. One from that standpoint. Is, you know, if you let that lure sit after a strike, you're subject to go ahead and catch that fish, you know, by leaving it in the strike zone like that. That's the whole moral to that story right there. And the other thing too is not just so much the size and shape and the pitch of the lure, but it's how you work it too. If you'll pay attention to the cadence you're using, the rhythm that you're using when you got your bite, if you can imitate that again in the same area, usually it's going to keep getting you bit. Sometimes they like it coming across the water like a machine gun, and sometimes, like the way one of the guys is working it this morning, he works it way slower than I could ever work it, and he's really getting the bites, you know. So pay attention to that cadence and how you're working the lure when you're getting your bites.
All right. What kind of areas, if people are going to slip out tomorrow or Sunday, where are you finding this topwater fishing? At what kind of depths? What kind of areas?
Well, topwater is really only going to work in probably 7 feet of water or less, and ideally more like in 2 to 5 feet of water, just because the fish you're fishing for are going to be in that lower third of the water column. Not saying that they won't come up sometimes and hit it, but if you can concentrate on that. And that's what works, this transitional period that we're in right now, when the water temperatures are in the upper 60s and low 70s, are going to be the flats near the mouths of the rivers, the flats on the edges of the river channels. And then, you know, if you catch a bluebird day, and I think we're going to by the weekend, that thing's going to work early in the morning with low light, and they're going to have to go to something subsurface like a slick lure or even a shrimp imitation under a popping cork.
All right. Well, we got a great way to start off the morning and then switch to the subsurface and still catch fish. Captain Bobby.
Absolutely. Yep. I'll tell you what, it's just been phenomenal for the last week, or last 2 weeks, really, just been phenomenal, both from the all the way to the northern end, all the way around down in the sound. So you really, you know, you got a lot of opportunities to fish, you know, whichever area you like to fish or prefer to fish, you got a good chance of having success this weekend.
Yeah, it's one of the best times of year for inshore fishermen.
It really is.
Tell folks they want to get a trip booked with you, how do they do it?
easiest way is just go to a-teamfishing.com, which is the website, and it'll have our phone number and our contact us. You can reach us through with that thing too, or just like I said, do it the old-fashioned way and give us a call.
Well, do it. I'll let you get back to watching your crew catch them on topwater. It's good stuff.
I won't send you any more pictures. I just had to send you that.
Torturing me. Torturing me. Captain Bobby, appreciate
right, man.
It, man.
Y'all have a good weekend.
There he is, Bobby Abrascato with the A-Team, and, of course, brought to you by our friends at McCoy Outdoor Company. Get the gear that Captain Bobby uses, or maybe getting some gear to go to the woods or anything in between. Check them out, McCoy Outdoor Company, just west of 65 on Spring Hill Avenue.
Yeah, you know, this time, 4 days from now, polls will be open for the general election, and President Trump yesterday picking up two celebrity endorsements.
Yes.
One, Jack Nicklaus.
And Bill.
And Lil Wayne.
I was trying to do a Lil Wayne voice.
It was great. That was fantastic. Yeah, Lil Wayne. I think the fourth or fifth hip-hop artist to endorse the president.
We were talking about 50 last week.
Mm-hmm. Ice Cube.
Cube, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess Wayne, a.k.a. Dwayne Michael Carter Jr., met with the president yesterday in Florida, said just had a great meeting with the president. Beside what he's done for criminal reform, the Platinum Plan is going to give the community real ownership. He listened to what we had to say today and assured he will and can get it done. And the Platinum Plan, which Ice Cube was talking about with President Trump, said it creates 3 million jobs in the black community over the next 4 years, increasing access to capital by nearly $500 billion, and strengthening Trump's immigration policies to protect American jobs. But I've never seen this with a Republican president before, and really the only president I've seen hip-hop artists endorse has been Barack Obama, but quick thoughts on these hip-hop artists endorsing Trump.
But, of course, a little tour through Twitter last night.
Little tour. I like that.
Little tour. Twitter turned against Lil Wayne very fast.
It's not the first time. He was also critical of Black Lives Matter.
Yes.
Too. So,
I like Lil Wayne's rapping. I also like his consistency.
Mm-hmm.
So, there you go.
Well, very interesting. Coming up, the Jeff Poor Show. He talks with Tommy Tuberville, Senate candidate, coming up at 11:10:30 this morning. That does it for Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Norwig.